Hello, my darlings. Welcome back to another exciting adventure right here on Radio Wasteland, the best in paranormal talk radio. I'm your host, Chauncey Hallworth. This is my co-host, Kara Kittrick.
Hello.
Kara, what's the news from the Wasteland?
All right, so the Loch Ness Monster has been spotted 8 times this year, as recorded on the official Loch Ness Monster Sightings Register, which is maintained by volunteers and aims to record all reported sightings. The latest entry, quote, a man and his daughter visiting from Chester reported seeing an unidentified movement in the loch. 8 sightings is relatively low, compared to 13 last year and 18 the year before, but then it's only August. A new study shows that the Atlantic Meridional Overturning Circulation, a critical ocean current that sends warm, salty water towards the from the tropics to northern Europe, may be shutting down, which could cause Europe to become much colder. Countries like Great Britain are warmer than other countries at the same latitude, like northern Canada and Russia, in large part because of ocean currents. This may also affect the northern U.S., causing unprecedented cold. Unusual, quote, cold blobs in the region may be early warning signs of this phenomenon, but scientists believe it could take hundreds of years for this current to shut down completely. And finally, the terrorism police believe that a pillow salesman may make people angry enough to kill. Or, to put it another way, the Department of Homeland Security has warned about a possible surge of election conspiracy theory-related violence in August, due to a resurgence in claims pushed by Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Lindell will be hosting a symposium this month where he claims he will finally unveil proof of his theories, after his other proofs have been roundly debunked by multiple news outlets. Back to you, Chauncey.
So, I was watching Bill Maher, and...
As you do.
As I do. I watch them all, though. You know, anybody listening, I'll remind you that I listen to a lot of conservative and liberal talk and humor and stuff. But he was basically saying that he thinks that all these people are selling out their country by selling out the election, and that they're doing it for the perks and for the money. Do you think, and I realize you're not an expert, I'm just throwing this out to you out of curiosity.
Sure, yeah.
Do you think these people who are opposing the election and everything, do you think they really believe what they're spouting?
I think it depends. I think Mike Lindell does. And the reason I think that is, A, like you said, he's pretty nutty. And B, like, financially speaking, he's taken a big hit from all this. Like, you know, he's made money, too. He's made money from grifting, but, like, it's much... He's still probably net lost money from, you know, Dominion suing him. I think they sued the network he was on, but anyway.
What you're saying that is his willingness to take a hit sort of proves his belief in.
Right. I think if he's a snake oil salesman, he's bad at it, you know, and I don't know. That's not beyond the realm of possibility, but I think it depends. I think almost every Republican politician in this country, you know, initially was like, Trump needs to stop talking about this. The election was fine. And now they're saying, you know, the election was stolen because their supporters believe it. And I think that's like, that's obvious that they don't believe it. Right. And they try to talk about it as little as possible. Someone asked, I forget who it was. I think it was Mike Pence, you know, what do you say to your colleagues when you talk about, or what do you say, have to say about January 6th? And he was just like, I don't talk about it. It's like, you know, they just don't want to talk about it. And when they do, they echo, you know, Trump's talking points. Cause if Trump decides, this has happened several times. If Trump is like, this guy's bad, this guy shouldn't be elected, then you'll lose your primary. That's, you know, he has the entire party over the barrel. And I think, I don't know if Trump believes it. I think Trump probably is the kind of person who, you know, whatever he wants to believe is true. Like, I don't think he sweats whether things are true or false when he says them. I don't think it even really enters his mind. I think he...
You think he says it enough where it becomes its own reality?
I think he makes his own reality. I think he decides something is true in his gut, and at that point the belief is unshakable. And I think this is a process that happens in 0.5 seconds, you know?
Yeah, I don't find that all that far-fetched, because I think we all do it in matters of guilt a lot.
Sure, yeah. And I think we've all known people who are like that, too.
Rewrite our history based on guilt and poor decision-making, especially when it comes to screwing people over. If you got a conscience and you're not ready to face a certain part of your personality, a lot of people drinking and stuff like that. I think there's a lot of people who do that, so I don't know if it's hard to believe that he can do it.
Yeah, no, we've all done that about some things, and we've all met people who do it about everything, right?
Right.
You know, we've met people who are so far into their own thing that, like, you can't even talk to them. They're just in their own world, right? And I think that's where Trump is.
You think he's going to run again in 24?
Yes. I don't see why he wouldn't.
Do you think the Republicans will accept him? Or do you
he will definitely win the primary if he runs again. That is my prediction.
Really?
Because the base loves him. The base loves him more than they love anyone else. He has name recognition, which is huge. And the base thinks that he won the last election. 3/4 of Republicans do. They think that. So why wouldn't he win the nomination if he wants it? Would he win the presidency again? I think there's a good chance. I mean, he barely lost the last election. You know, the elections have been close both times. Joe Biden will be pretty old if he runs again. Yeah, I don't think he should run again. I think he'll be too old. But, you know, if he does run again, it might go well, because I think one of Joe Biden's key advantages against Trump in this last election, and the reason that, you know, maybe he prevailed where Hillary didn't, was because he's not that threatening to, like, old white people, because he's an old white person, and he has a reputation for being pretty moderate. But I think if, you know, Joe Biden doesn't run and, say, Kamala runs, then I think Trump will win, because Kamala is a black woman. Kamala's quite moderate. Like, yeah. I don't even really like her that much.
I thought she was the most liberal senator this country has ever known. That's what they're saying. Which is
no, like, I know, and that's purely what they're saying, because she's a woman of color. Like, they can get away with it because, like, she's scary to the Republican base. So I think she would lose purely for reasons of racism.
It's so shocking to me that the world is still so down on women. You know, it's like everybody got a mama. You know, we all work with women. We all know women. Everybody wants to be in some kind of a relationship, and most people are straight. I don't know. It's a little weird that people are so, that this is still going on. I think we were talking last week about how I kind of felt before the election that we were on, like, the tail end of racism. And then I got reminded, oh God, no, we're not. Okay. You know, I felt that way with women too. And apparently people do not like them.
I think you make the fundamentalist mistake of assuming that men respect their mothers and their partners. I think you do.
I do.
I think a lot of people don't.
Okay.
I think it's a huge problem among men that they don't see even the women in their life as people.
That is just great. So if you're out there and you're listening to this, and you really got to ask yourself, do you see women in your life as people and leaders and the people who can help the world? I mean, if you don't, you got to, you know, quit faking it. Quit faking it. If you're going to be a jerk, just be a jerk. Then we know where you're at. All right. So coming up tonight, we have Horror Gamer. We're talking a lot about Resident Evil.
Look, staying healthy isn't easy. Watching your diet, hitting the gym, avoiding stress. But a good night's rest helps boost your overall health and wellness. And it couldn't be easier. The new Sleep Number 360 smart bed senses and automatically adjusts to keep you both effortlessly comfortable. The result? You wake up ready for anything. Proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. Don't miss our weekend special where all smart beds are on sale. Save 50% on the new Sleep Number 360 limited edition smart bed. Plus free premium delivery when you add a base. Ends Monday.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency child care, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
Radio Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/Radio Wasteland.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. Our guest tonight is Horror Gamer, and what are we talking about? Well, surprise, surprise, we're talking about horror and games. How are you doing this evening? We're going to go with HG to make life easy. How are you doing, HG?
I'm doing good, my friend. I just want to say thank you very much for having me on. I'm super excited to just dive right into the world of horror with you guys today.
Yeah, I'm a hardcore horror fan. You know, as a, you know, my interest in paranormal is really kind of like a offshoot of my love of horror. You know, I grew up loving horror. I've told this story before. It's not going to bode well for me as a male, but I initially got into horror because of the nudity. I was like, you know, and then, you know, but by the time I was 16, you know, I was just loving it all the way back to the 30s and, you know, up until today. So, you know, what, I'm always curious about how people get into these things, especially horror, because for one, I meet a lot of horror fans that I just don't get them. You know, they want it to be real, or they're all, you know, I want to get on the roller coaster and then I want to get off the roller coaster and smell some flowers and say, man, that crap was crazy. You know,
yeah. But,
you know, what makes you love horror? You know, what's your draw to it? I assume you're not killing people and eating babies.
No. Well, for me, horror has been a thing all my life. When I was 5 years old, I watched The Exorcist for the first time with my dad.
It's a major desensitizing at a young age, I assume.
Right. When it's your first horror movie you ever watch, it kind of desensitizes you to the rest later in life. But ever since that night, it was just something about, you know, the whole story behind, you know, The Exorcist and everything. It just drew me into that. And I've been hooked ever since. You know, horror's just been a big part of my life ever since that night.
You know, that makes sense. You know, I think about the things that I'm into, and I know a lot of them are maybe a little different than most people. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of people who are also into the stuff that we're into. And I think about it, and really, if I try to dig my way back, really, I'm just chasing nostalgia. I'm chasing those moments when I first watched them, and it sent my imagination whirling. And now, to be honest, I watch, like, for every, let's say, 30 horror movies I watch, 29 of them are absolutely terrible. And then I get that one, and I'm just all, oh, my God, it's happening. I'm feeling that feeling, that nostalgia. Yes.
You know, I am the same exact way, like you said. 29 out of 30 are some of the worst horror movies you could possibly watch. So hard to sit through, but then you get that one. It's just like, man, I remember it just brings you back to sitting on the couch with your dad watching the movie.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, it's also the same case with science fiction and jazz, frankly.
Yeah.
You know, most of it's terrible, but when you get the good stuff, you're all like, oh, this is great.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, ask anyone who likes a thing, and they'll tell you that's true of everything.
Yep.
This is my personal journey, though. So
okay.
It's more important.
I'm sorry to, like, you know, take
this
take
is about him with his dad.
Little box fancy.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, one thing that I wanted to talk about is zombies, because zombies like blew up, you know, because obviously we're going to talk about Resident Evil, but zombies like just blew up culturally and in horror movies. And, you know, what's your take on why we love them so much as a group of people? Cause I love them too. I'm to the point now where a zombie movie better be pretty dang good for me to like it. Yeah. I've seen so many that, you know.
Yeah. You know what? Honestly, I think that the lore of the zombie apocalypse is what makes people excited for zombies. The whole go out there and just this massive chaos, the world's coming to an end, and you just got hordes of zombies that you can just periodically take out one by one, or kind of like, in everybody's head, it's like The Walking Dead, or it's like, you know, it's like Night of the Living Dead. It's something like that. You know what I mean? Where it's just that excitement, like the danger is there.
Yeah.
So it's a situation where you don't have to pay bills, and also every so often you get to commit casual violence against beings that are basically helpless and are also incredibly loathsome, so you don't feel bad.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, I like that's that.
That's pretty much, you know. That's pretty much the gist of it there.
Yeah.
I like the way you said it better.
Yeah, I think you're definitely right. Like, the mass zombie, of course, they were like voodoo zombies and Haitian zombies and stuff prior, but the mass zombie thing started
right, that
1968, Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah.
Arguably, it started from I Am Legend, but yeah, did create, I have to admit that as a horror fan, you know, when I was a kid, there were a lot more of us, you know, now that I'm grown up,
yeah.
Just all like, oh, I like grown-up movies, and I'm all like,
well, yeah,
all
yeah. Right.
Well, thanks. But the kids that loved the zombie movies when I was a kid were also the kids who had, like, the Anarchist Cookbook, and they probably did fantasize about the collapse of society and them going off on their own and building spring traps.
Yeah, pretty, yep, that's about it right there. That's the lore right there.
Right, yeah. And I got to admit, it's dystopian, so it definitely feeds into, you know, my love of these post-apocalypse in general, you know.
Absolutely.
So Resident Evil, you know, this is your jam. You play a lot of stuff, but that's your brand, is you love this shit.
Yes. Oh my God. I am diehard Resident Evil. And it's the funniest thing is I kind of came on to the Resident Evil train a little late. I knew nothing about the original back in 96, I believe it was. I actually was introduced to Resident Evil on Thanksgiving when I went to my cousin's house for Thanksgiving dinner, I went up to get him because dinner was ready, and you could just hear these terrible noises coming from his room. Like, just, oh, it was so bad. And then you walk in, he has all the lights off, and he's just playing this game, and I'm just, as a young HG, I'm standing there just, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life. What is this? Why don't I know anything about this?
Right.
And then ever since then, I have just been hooked. Everything Resident Evil. Like, a lot of my friends joke with me that if it's not Resident Evil, don't waste your money on it because you're not going to play it. You're not going to, you know, play anything else but that. Yeah, I'm just so obsessed with the game. It's amazing to me.
Huh. So this was the first Resident Evil that you walked into?
Yes, the Resident okay. Evil 2. Resident Evil 2 was the first one that I got introduced to. Yeah, yeah. Resident Evil 2 was the one that I walked in on, and ever since then, and it happens to be my favorite video game of all time, and that's like with all the genres. It's just Resident Evil 2. It's crazy.
Interesting. So there are a million Resident Evil games, right?
Oh, what there's is, so many. Yeah.
What is it that? I mean, is it just that was the first one and that was sort of like what brought you into it, or is 2 generally like mechanically a better game for whatever reason?
It was a good game. The story was I think the reason I like it the most was the score, the music in it.
Oh, interesting.
It has some of the most beautiful music I've ever heard in a video game. Like, ever heard.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, and then when you go into a save room to save your game and then you hear that music and you just like, ah, I can take a minute. You know what I mean? So great. It's just such an amazing, amazing score all around. I think that's why it plays a big part in why I like the game so much.
Right. Yeah, I'm a good deal older than you, so video games, I do play them. I'm like obsessed with Metroid. I play anyone that comes out, you know.
Yeah.
We all got our brand, you know. But when I was younger, of course, video games were not immersive in the way that they are today. So it's been hard for me to put together the scares that I can get from a horror movie with the scares that I can get from something that I'm actively involved in. But that's what you're getting from it, right? You know, because I watch these things and I know that people are, you know, feeling the scares just like I am. I'm loving it.
Yes.
And I'm loving the horror.
There's something about when you play a horror game, you actually feel like you're in it. You know what I mean? Like, you're that character and you have to do what you can to survive. And I think that, just that feeling of dread and anxiety and stuff, I think that's what keeps me going back to it. Because it's like, all right, I can do this, you know. I'm being chased by this big monster, but I know I can survive it, you know. But it's just the fear of, oh, he might get me.
Thank you.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
This is RC from Tobacco and Brew with this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Today we're sharing Perez Carrillo Trilogy. This gift set is the pinnacle of years tirelessly dedicated to the perfection of cigars. Rating 95, 96, and 98 by Cigar Aficionado, these three cigars have put Ernesto Perez Carrillo at the top of the industry. Come down to the best cigar shop around, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Join the Cult 45's Evening on the Green Summer Concert Series every Thursday night starting at 8 p.m. at Tiger Field. Through the end of August, enjoy live music with a different band each week. Find the lineup of performers online at ReddingCult45s.com. Tickets are only $5. Come enjoy food, beverages, and dancing at the Cult 45's Evening on the Green Summer Concert Series at Tiger Field at 1000 West Cypress Avenue. See you there!
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference in a disaster. When disaster strikes, you want to protect your whole family, including your pets. To help keep your family safe and help our best friends in their worst times, find tips at AmericanHumane.org.
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us.
Is there something that Resident Evil does for you that... Because they're, I feel like horror games have exploded a lot. You know, you've got a million AAA ones. You've got your Dead Spaces. You've got your, I don't know. I don't actually play that many horror games, so I'm suddenly having trouble thinking of anything other than Dead Space. But like, clearly Resident Evil is a more venerable. Like brand has been around for longer and it's really enduring. Is there something they do that like is more visceral than others? Or
for me, it makes you think as well. It brings the scares, but it also plays with your head a little bit. Like when you have to solve a puzzle to get into the next room, or you have to find a key. Like I know other games do that. But it's just the way that Resident Evil for me brings it out. It just hits me in a way that other games don't. Like I've tried to play other games. Some games like The Evil Within is a game that was made by the creator of the first Resident Evil. While it was a good game, don't get me wrong, it just didn't have that hit for me like Resident Evil does, if that makes sense.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, I assume a big part of it is that here's my other nerddom. I have Transformers behind me. And why Transformers hit and GoBots didn't, you know, is that Transformers had the lore behind it. And you used the lore earlier. And, you know, sometimes, you know, when you get obsessed with these things, you end up, if, like you're saying about the other guy with his new game, let's say people did get that level of obsessed, but the well wasn't deep enough for them to chase it, you know, but Resident Evil has created quite the world for itself.
Yes, absolutely. It's created that lore. And I think another thing too is it's a nostalgic thing. Mm-hmm. I'm constantly like, I've been called like a nostalgia chaser. I've been called all kinds of things. I love nostalgia. I love when something can take me back to a better time in my life. Mm-hmm. And then when I get that, I kind of gravitate to it. And that's what Resident Evil does to me as well. Is like anytime I can sit down in my 30s and play Resident Evil, I can just get that picture of me at 12 years old or 10 years old, you know, sitting down on the couch playing video games and just having a good time with, you know, your Mountain Dews and their peaches and Doritos and stuff like that, you know, all-nighters that you do. That's what I enjoy.
That's funny. It's the exact same thing that I tell my wife. She's just all, my Transformers collection is a midlife crisis. And I tell her I'm just all, at least I'm aspiring to be 12 again and not 20.
Yes,
so it's like, exactly. I did 20 all right. I did 20 good. I felt that I nailed 20 pretty well. And I moved on. You know, what I feel that I could take another crack at is 12. I could be 12 again.
Yeah. Exactly. The better times, yes. I agree.
Kara, do you have a point in your life that if you could go back and live in that point forever, you would live there? And I don't mean like a specific moment, but I mean like a section. Because like he's saying, you know, if I were to go back, I'd be drinking soda directly from a 2-liter while splitting a pizza while up till 4 a.m. watching Doctor Who on PBS and playing video games. You know, that's the moment that I feel that I should probably revisit.
Yeah, see, I'm tempted to say, you know, any point in my childhood, right, because of, like, the nostalgia factor. But also, objectively, I was incredibly overworked, and I don't want to do math homework again. I don't want to do math homework or PE class ever again, so I wouldn't want to go back. So maybe college? College, I was just hanging out and, you know, doing whatever classes I wanted to do, and that was pretty nice.
That's beautiful. I did leave out that I was failing everything.
My period of my life I'm nostalgic for was like a couple years ago.
That's good. So. You know, I was not doing my math homework at the time, though. I was.
That is fair. No, yeah. See, ours was more of a homework is not optional situation household. Right. So it's, yeah.
All right. Well, I definitely have more to say about that. We'll dig into that sometime, Kara, because I had to. That's a good one. But, you know, the
show where we cycle and analyze each
other. Right, right, yeah. That's a whole series that I'm looking forward to. As far as the lore, why don't you give us a rundown of the lore? Is it unique from game to game, or is it episodic? Does it exactly follow, or is it take a lot of liberties? Is it like a reboot each time?
Well, basically what it does is, so your first, it takes place in different time frames. And while the virus changes a little bit, the outcome is basically the same. So you got back in the Spencer Mansion in 1996, an outbreak happened and they're trying to figure out what's going on because it got out and people are dying, and they send Alpha Team in to check it out. And it's just a nightmare. It's just all kinds of stuff happened. Well, Resident Evil 2 takes place a few months later. This time, the outbreak spreads, and you find out that it's a different strand, and it's created in this pharmaceutical company's underground lair called Umbrella. And you find yourself in a police station for like 90% of the game, and it's just amazing how just crazy it is. And then while Resident Evil 2 and 3, they're actually happening around the same time, just a couple hours apart, which is pretty cool. And that's like the original trilogy that was really good. Then 4 happened, which was like, it was okay. But that, in my point, is when the Resident Evil series kind of started to become action movies. Resident Evil 4, it was good. It had some scares and stuff, but it started that action trend. And then 5 was the same way. That one took place in Africa. 4 took place in Europe. And then part 6 took place here in the U.S. and then Japan. But at that point, that game was nothing but quick time events and, you know, Die Hard, basically. It was just, it kind of, around that time for me, that's where the series, in my opinion, started dying. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately.
And what are we at now? Like 7, 8?
8. We're at 8.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's funny because they almost turned Resident Evil into trilogy-based, kind of like Star Wars. Mm-hmm. You have your original trilogy, then you have your over-the-shoulder action trilogy, and now you have your first-person back-to-survival horror trilogy. And I think with this new trilogy, they really upped their game, so to speak, and they really brought it back to what made Resident Evil good. While not with the zombies, per se, they just added that survival horror where, you know, ammo is not plentiful like it was in the last three games. You actually have to work to survive. And that's what, like, the essence of Resident Evil for me was just surviving, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not an action movie. You don't have bullets just scattered all over the place. You know, you have to find them and you have to survive. And they're starting to do that again, which is great.
With a lot of fan bases, the view is that the movies killed it. Is that your view?
In my opinion, the first movie was okay.
Well, I don't mean the quality of the movies, but I mean that the movies affected the quality of the game.
I think so, yeah, because then the movie started making this action-packed movie, and then around that time was when the game started becoming the same way. So, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but I am interested in your view of the movies, because this is, you know, this is what prompted my other question is, like, and sorry to go back to Transformers, but it had the same problem. It started out pretty good, but it quickly devolved into basically cutscenes of action to the point where I'm not entirely sure what's going on. You know, don't get me wrong. I've seen all the movies, probably more than once, but, you know, what's your take on?
So, like I said, with the first movie, it was the first of the, you know, it was their dive into it. So they kind of kept the scares there a little bit. They didn't make it as action-y as the ones to follow. But my take on it is what I couldn't stand that they did with the Resident Evil movies was they took established characters from the game, mm-hmm. put them in the movie, but then made them back characters. They put them on the back burner for Alice, which was a character that had never existed in the game. She, you know, wasn't even thought of in the game, Mila Jovovich's character. Mm-hmm. I can't stand when a movie takes those liberties. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're making a movie on a franchise that was built. You have your characters from the game, and then you basically just throw them aside to make your own character. I can't stand when they do that.
Oh, you like horror movies? Maybe you've seen Relic.
Yes.
You ever seen the movie with Relic?
Yes.
With the big lizard creature.
Yeah, in the museum.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's based off of a book, and the main character from the book that went on to have 17 novels where he was the main character does not show up in the movie. He is like, I think he walks through basically, where he's like the star of the book. I'm just all like, I liked the movie, but they lost the magic. You know?
Yeah. That drives me crazy when they do that. Like, I know in the final Resident Evil, like when they had specific characters die off screen that never even died in the game. Drove me nuts. You know, especially one of the characters that they did, he's one of the major characters in the game, you know, and they killed him off screen. They didn't even like give him the decency if they were going to kill him in the movie universe.
Right.
To do it on screen, and he's like a superhero in the game kind of deal, you know what I mean? He's had like 3 or 4 games about him.
Explore your world right from home with Turtle Bay TV.
Daintree is a jungle carpet python.
Featuring free educational and distance learning content for a virtual experience the whole family will enjoy.
Welcome to the vault.
Start streaming now at turtlebay.org.
Californians can make history this summer, first by recalling Gavin Newsom, and on the same ballot, electing a conservative leader with a proven record, Ted Gaines.
Hi, this is Ted Gaines. My family came to California during the Gold Rush. Since that time, the state has seen world wars, depressions, earthquakes, and more. It hasn't been easy, and we still have big problems. But I'm telling you right now, don't be discouraged. I'm running for governor because we can make a difference. I'm an optimist, and I've pitched my tent in the land of hope. We will get our homeless mandatory care and housing. We will build power and water supplies so we don't suffer blackouts and rationing. We will save Prop 13 and cut high taxes. Working together, we will put California right back on top. I'm Ted Gaines. That's my pledge to you. Please vote yes on the recall and vote Ted Gaines for governor. Thank you.
Paid for by Gaines for Governor 2021.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
I expected it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to MakeTheConnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
There's more to explore with a Turtle Bay membership. Get unlimited access to world-class exhibits, exciting animal shows, empowering playgrounds, and beyond. Family memberships are only $90 a year. That's less than $8 a month for a whole year of fun. Join today at TurtleBay.org.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
You know, I understand as a fan of a lot of lores, you know, I understand the need to pay homage to the fan base, but I also understand, like, if you're not going to pay any homage to it at all, it's like, why are you even doing it, you know, because, you know, so there's always this pull and push between that, but I agree, you know, ditching major characters and giving them no send-off is, I don't know, it's world-building suicide.
Exactly, it's like a cardinal sin when you do something like that. Especially, like, if you're taking an established franchise that people love. Like, there are a lot of diehard, like, diehard Resident Evil fans. Like, I have a buddy who's, he's might be the most diehard Resident Evil fan I've ever seen in my life. Like, he owns, like, he buys every game 5 times, collector's editions, regular editions. He buys them for all the consoles. He has, like, a case that is just Resident Evil games, and he has, like, old-school Resident Evil 2 PlayStation, still sealed, never open kind of deal. He is diehard, and, like, it's almost like you spit in the face of people like that when you do that.
Right.
Things
who,
like that.
Who are, you know, in this world of Kardashians, they're your influencers, you know?
Exactly.
I was curious about that, about collecting, when it comes to video games. So, you know, I don't mean to show my age, but, you know, I am a little older. But, you know, I do get the world of collecting toys and that their values go up. Is this the same case with video games? I assume it is. Is it with Resident Evil? Is there?
Oh, yes. Like, there's some Resident Evil, like, the way that this franchise is, there's certain things, like, if you own and you own them top-notch, you can sell them for a pretty penny. Like, if you go on eBay, I've seen sealed Resident Evil 2 PlayStation 2 cart discs go for almost $1,000. And it's, you know, when it came out, it was like $40.
Right.
You know, it's crazy how things double, triple, quadruple in value as the time goes by. And because Resident Evil now is like really sought after lately, I've seen humongous spikes in like prices and stuff like that when it comes to buying collectibles for this franchise.
Yeah, especially the old games, I would assume, because we're living in a world where now, you know, downloadables is where it's at. If I buy a game on my...
Absolutely, yeah.
I'm a Nintendo guy. If I buy it on my Switch or whatever, we download it. It doesn't actually exist. Going back to the lore, did Alice make her way into the video game then?
She never has once seen a video game.
Really?
Never once.
I wonder if that's due to licensing. I wonder if, like, if they were trying to keep it classy or if we can't afford it.
Maybe. It's like, yeah. I'm not sure, but I've never seen her in one video game.
Huh. I mean, was the movie... I don't actually know. Was the movie popular? I always kind of got the impression that it kind of flopped, but I might be thinking of something else.
I mean, they were okay. Popular? No. I mean, to a core group of fans, maybe, but it didn't, like,
break
box office. Right. It wasn't the Avengers or anything like that. You know?
Sure, yeah. Maybe they just, you know, didn't want to taint the games.
Yeah, maybe. And thank God they didn't, you know, because that would have been just horrible. But, no, I wouldn't say it was popular, but it had its core fan base.
I see.
So.
I think these companies are starting to realize, though, that their core fan bases are who carry the torch, because we now obviously live in a world where franchises and world building is where it's at. You know, everybody's trying to emulate the MCU like they were anything, you know. You can see it on every streaming network. You can see them seizing control of their properties. Star Trek. I'm watching Star Trek Discovery currently. You know, you can totally tell that Paramount has seized control of that property, and they're trying to build on it to create a competitor with what Disney is doing. So, you know, I think there's hope for you that you're going to see a reboot in a movie that pays a lot more homage to the source material, I think.
Well, there is one in the works.
Oh, is there?
Yes, it's called Resident Evil Welcome to Raccoon City.
Huh.
So, from what I'm getting, I've been researching this ever since I found out that it was a thing. They're kind of interpreting the first two games into this. So they're going to have characters from the game. They're going to have characters from the remake game, which is pretty cool. And I'm excited for it. The only thing that bugs me is it keeps getting pushed back. It was supposed to be in August, and then it was supposed to be September 8th. Now it's like November 11th or something like that.
So, for a release date?
Yeah, for a release date.
Wow, that quick.
So, yeah, it's coming soon, yeah.
So it has nothing to do with What's-Her-Face and her husband?
Yeah, no, thank God.
Jehovah-Vitches.
Yes, and she actually put a tweet out saying that she would like to be in the remake, and I was like, please, God, don't let that happen. Don't do it. Unless she's a zombie, don't let her be in it.
Yeah, they could Drew Barrymore, though. They could, like, kill her in the opening scene, like they did in Scream. That was their big marketing pitch for Scream.
Hey, I would be okay with that. You know, send her off, Alice, goodbye. Now let's get back to Resident Evil the way it was intended to be.
Yeah, so I haven't heard of this. Is it a... From what you can tell, is it a big budget Is it like a major corporation, company that's putting this out?
It seems like a big budget. Now, there's conflicting reports. One is saying it's going to go straight to Netflix, like a Netflix movie. Mm-hmm. But then there's other people saying it's going to go to theaters. It's supposed to be hitting theaters.
Interesting. The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.